Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Truly, if you need to know anything about Boston, other than it's annually considered one of the most racist cities in America, it's true. Am I making that up? Did I make that up? I didn't make that up. Are you kidding me? That's a factual statement. All you have to do is go to YouTube and just put in Yelvis, Y-L-V-I-S. It's like Elvis with a Y instead of an E. And see their tribute song, Massachusetts. It kind of tells you the whole story, Tony, of great colony of Massachusetts. And
you'll laugh.
You will
actually laugh, unlike you did with the prank call.
Prank call? My goodness. It was big with the Jerky Boys. That was like 25 years ago,
well,
I guess.
I was listening on the way in when he called, and it was just some guy's like, I've been watching the tape of you guys this week, that Allen Robinson. He just started mentioning names on the Jaguars as if Dan and Jeff would just fall into the trap of, we got a chance weekend.
Well, you knew it was fake when he said we just started watching the tape this week.
Right.
Okay, they've been watching the tape for decades.
Well, and when he knew it was over, like when he knew it was over, he's like, why'd you guys let go of Muschamp? He was a real winner down there in Gainesville. And then you're like, okay, this guy's a complete and total clown, whoever this is on the phone. And then EEI was talking about trying to prank call Jacksonville around 10 o'clock this morning. So jig was up. Everyone knew.
By the way, guys, they said they might be calling back, so I'll be aware.
How about let's take no calls.
It's laying down the wall.
He doesn't like this.
He doesn't like the hijinks that's going on.
Well, wouldn't
right
you
now
want to say a few words to Christian Fourier?
Really, but I mean, I'm telling him right now, I think he's a jackass, and he's listening right now. So, I mean, if you want to call up and have me tell you that, that's fine. Go ahead. I don't care. I'm happy to use that word as many times as possible in reference to pretty much everyone within the borders of the great state of Massachusetts. There you have it. Exactly. There you go. Thank you very much. Brandon Linder is a concern, O'Halloran, if he can't play. Probably the Jags' best offensive lineman, and we don't know that he won't be able to play in this scenario. I kind of feel like it's my fault. Okay, have you probably haven't noticed my pattern of pregame interviews that I've done since the regular season started.
Jokel,
Allen Robinson, week one. Okay, 1 for 27 with a big drop. Right,
Denard Robinson, week two.
Devon House.
Okay.
Had to go to the hospital, right? Out of the game. I mean, that wasn't a good one for him. And then Brandon Linder yesterday sat down with me for the pregame show. So next week it will be Chad Henne. And then I may call around the league and see if I can talk to some former Jaguars as we get ready for next week's opponent, the Indianapolis Colts. But what do you think, Ryan? Today, our fan feedback question of the day. There really are no moral victories in the National Football League, but the Patriots are the defending Super Bowl champions. We asked people if anything short of victory would satisfy them this week. What's the sense that you get in terms of, look, you want to win. There's no question about it. I think there's going to be a lot of sentiment. Hey, you win or you don't win. This is big boy football, and I can respect that. But much like a couple of years ago, was it last year when they went to Denver?
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
26
they went to Denver, right? And they're one of the biggest, maybe the biggest underdog in league history, and they felt like they were able to kind of play with them, which at that time was acceptable. 3 years into the whole scenario, I don't know if that should be the goal.
Well, I think if they if they come out and lose like by under 13 points, let's say New England doesn't cover and it's 41-27 or 41-30 or 37-28, I think that would be a good showing.
You put some points up on the board. The offense take another good step.
And I think that's what the Jaguars' mindset has to be this week is they should be able to move the ball.
You would think so,
and
right?
They should be able to score because they should pull out all the stops in terms of different kinds of formations, different kinds of plays, because one empty possession against New England, you're going to be down 7-0.
I agree with you. You know, that you're going to have to get touchdowns. You're not going to be able to say. It's not just about time-consuming drives, not just about eating clock and keeping Tom Brady off the field, because eventually he gets back on the field. Mm-hmm. No matter what, your drive's going to end. It's either going to end with points or it's going to end with you giving the ball back to the other team. So touchdowns is what's needed, and they need to continue to take shots downfield in this game.
Yeah, and your first point on touchdowns instead of field goals, they've been inside the 10-yard line twice in the first two games, came with field goals. Doesn't work. And then also the downfield stuff is I would continue to do it because, you know, obviously, let's say you hit one out of two. Well, that's 50 yards.
Right.
You know, you're probably not going to hit 52, 45, and 46 like Allen had in the first half. That's probably not going to happen every week. But I think if you keep taking those shots on the perimeter to Robinson and Hurns and even get Marquise more involved, that should open up the middle of the field for the tight end.
That might be the key this week, get Marquise Lee more involved with Rashad Green now on IR designated to return. It was very big for Marquise to come back at 25 snaps last week and apparently suffer no setbacks. Look good, look quick when he was out there. He's going to have to play double that, I would think, this week for the Jags to have a chance, and he's going to have to be effective on those snaps.
Yeah, because right now he's your outside receiver on three receivers. They'll probably move Hurns inside, and then if they don't, maybe Walters inside. But I loved how they used Marquise coming back last week. Is on the field, second play of the game, threw to him.
Right.
Jet sweep, end around, whatever you want to call it, gain 12 yards. Big catch, and then I think he would have had a touchdown if Blake didn't miss him on that post. So, you know, I think he's another added dimension. You just want to, you know, just want to see him stay healthy to see what he can do when he's able to play and practice every week.
What's the plan in your eyes for punt return this week?
Well, they're not going to need it.
Easy. What are they? They're gonna get in turnovers. They're not gonna get to the point where they have to punt.
Sack, strip, fumble.
Oh, there you go. All right.
I think it's gonna be judged on the situation. Is you know, if you're let's say New England's punting from midfield and they need a fair catch. You know, my guess would probably be Brian Walters back.
That's
there.
That's exactly the scenario I put out there yesterday.
And you know, Nick Marshall, if the Pats are punting from their own 15, maybe, like, give Nick a shot. I mean, Gus mentioned Corey Grant. He's already got kick returns, and he's probably going to play a little more at running back. But, you know, it's almost like they haven't really thought of that yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure they have thought of it, but I wouldn't think Corey Grant would be one of the first options that I would go to. I think punt return and kick return – Rare is the guy that excels at both of those. You know, it's a different skill set. It is returning, but it's more of a straight line speed thing with kickoff returns. You know, the ability to break tackles. It's more about initial quickness and making people miss on punt returns.
Yeah, and you know, you just haven't seen Nick Marshall do it on punts. So, you know, you've seen him do it with the ball in his hands,
right,
obviously. So, you know, maybe they think some of that in tight areas, tight quarters quickness can translate to punts.
All right, if you'd like to get in today, 641-1010, we'll take calls from the 904 area code for the next 2 hours.
Yes.
If you'd like to get
904
on board.
904 only.
Yeah, you know, there's such a thing as a call screener that works these days. But if you'd like to get in, you're certainly welcome to do that at 641-1010. You can text us on the, guess what, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. So there you have it. And you can also tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Today we're asking you, will anything short of a victory this weekend satisfy you for the Jacksonville Jaguars when they head into Foxborough with their 1-1 record on the line? All right. It is a Thursday here. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran with you. We'll hear from Gus Bradley. We'll hear from Blake Bortles and others throughout the course of the show talking Jaguar football for the next 2 hours on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Who's Mike Dempsey talking to at the Metro Diner chat counter? Find out on Jaguars Today. 10 to noon weekdays on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
With him, you know what, just by watching him on film, I definitely say you have to put some hands on him and be able to defend yourself when he wants to put his hands on you.
Down boy. Again, that plays right into the Elvis song, Massachusetts.
Yes, it does.
Doesn't it, Tony?
It really
does. It fits
does.
Well. The Gronk he's talking about.
Well, do we even see Jonathan Cyprian on the field Sunday?
I don't know if we do see Jonathan Cyprian.
I would say no.
No. Right. Whether we see Cyprian or not.
We're gonna see Gronk.
We're gonna see plenty of Gronk, you would think. Plenty of targets for Gronk. And look, he's, you know, off to the start that if he continues at the pace he's on and stays healthy, he could end up as the greatest tight end to ever play the game. At least most productive in the passing game to ever play the game.
And that'll get you in the can.
Oh, there's no question it'll get you in the can.
Watching him against Buffalo, lines up all over the field. And it's just like, I'm trying to think, like, Pittsburgh and Buffalo had, like, the same plan on defense. It is, like, what Sip is referring to, just get your hands on him at the line. They let him get a free release. I mean, well,
you saw what Pittsburgh did a couple of times. Pittsburgh just, he was just running.
Not covered.
Right, not covered at all.
So, I mean, I think there's one comparison yesterday was he runs a lot of the same kind of routes that Jason Witten does for Dallas, sort of a, you know, a deep crossing route. So, it'd be interesting. Like, Telvin Smith will get a shot. You know, if you, I think they're going to play a lot of zone. So there's a lot of different guys to cover on that team. And if you pay a lot of attention to Gronk, then you got to worry about Edelman. I mean, there's a lot of things for the Jags defense to deal with, and I don't think they have a ton of answers.
You know, Logan talked about that the other day, that Buffalo will play a man, and that's why they feel like they've got a lot of good man concepts to get guys open, and that's why you saw Brady throw it 59 times this week. I think a lot of times when they feel like the advantage, it's an advantage of the defense to try to run the football. Buffalo has a good front four. I think the Jags have done pretty well against the run themselves here in the early going of the season. So, to me, I would think, you know, I'm going to be Brady. I'm going to get back there in shotgun. I'm going to spread them out. I'm going to throw all those little short passes to Deion Lewis and Julian Edelman. And that's going to be my running game. And Logman thinks it'll be different. He thinks the game plan will be more balanced because the Jags do play a lot more zone than Buffalo does. You agree with that?
Neither here nor there. I mean, but I do think they want to be more balanced because, I mean, Brady threw 59 times last week. And I think there's something to be said. Even if you're leading, I think they do want to be more balanced in terms of just control the clock a little bit, because they let Buffalo right back in that game last week, even though they're up 37-13, because they kept throwing. You know, and who knows what they're checking out of, but, you know, I would definitely agree that the Patriots probably do want to establish the run a little bit more, which is going to be tough against the Jaguar front, who has played well.
All right, let's get to the phones. This will be good, right? And also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, where we asked you today, will you be anything short of victory satisfy you in terms of quality of play, how competitive the team is, or are you well beyond that now? And I'm leaning towards well beyond. I mean, look, you'd rather look good if you're going to lose. You'd rather be competitive and go toe-to-toe, but rather, again, win ugly than lose pretty. As far as that goes, if there is such a thing. So let's get to where we're going to go. Alan in Arlington to start things off today with his keys to victory, so he says, for the Jags. What's up, Alan?
Hey, good morning. How you all doing?
Good.
Hey, thinking about your question, I don't mean to sound like Gus Bradley, but can we actually show improvement over what we did last week? Because I went to the stadium totally convinced we were going to lose, so I walked away amazed and happy. But looking at New England, understanding you're not going to slow Brady down, can we at least improve in the area of getting some pressure on him? Can we can we stop Gronk? Probably not. But can we stop the other receivers? Can we make them more dimensional in the passing game on defense? Again, can we at least get some pressure on him? But going to the offense, can we actually sustain some drives? Can we score in the first half and come out in the second half, and unlike last week, put together drives? Because I'm looking forward to the following week. Because I say use New England as a warm-up, a practice, for finally going into Indianapolis and beating the Colts.
All right, Alan.
A lot of stuff in that one to cover here.
Yeah, where are you going to jump in?
If I'm the Jags defense, I almost acknowledge it's going to be tough to sack Brady because of Brady.
Right.
Throws it quick, slides around the pocket. I'd do something bold. I'd rush three and drop eight. And I'd try to plug every zone possible and put myself in position to tackle the catch on those small catches, on those short throws. Because Yak is going to be incredible. You can't miss tackles against a guy like Edelman or Gronkowski. You know, because they'll turn a 5-yard catch into a 35-yard gain. So on offense, we talked about first segment is when you get in red zone, you gotta score touchdowns against the Pats. But I mean, I think one of the most intriguing thing to watch in this game is how do they deal with all the Patriots' talent on offense.
Tony, do you think they can get away with rushing that few and just flooding the zone? My feeling is you give Tom Brady enough time, somebody's going to come open. And I'd rather go the opposite way. I'm not saying they will, but I'd rather go the opposite way and send five than send three and try to get him off his spot.
Real quick, the five part, that would be going against everything they've ever done here for two years and two games. So I'm going almost the more conservative route, but go ahead, Tony.
You'd have to try to fool him. I mean, it's almost like one of those where you'd have to present blitz that you are going to bring five or six in pressure and then flood your coverage with those eight guys in coverage and try to make him still throw the ball quick. You know, I think that Brady's been around long enough that if he recognizes that you're trying to play coverage on him, he is going to take his time and he's going to let those guys try to get open. I think it's if you convince him somehow that it looks like pressure, so he is trying to get the ball out of his hands quick, and then you have those guys in coverage to tackle, that could play to your advantage. I think it's really tough to present we're going to play eight guys in coverage and still try to stop this New England Patriots team. But it's hard to stop them no matter what you do on the defensive side of the ball.
And I talked to a couple of guys in the locker room yesterday, and I was like, okay, can you confuse them? And they're like, not really. I mean, he's seen everything. And I said, well, do you even bother disguising? And a couple of players said, you don't, because when you're mid-disguise, he'll snap it.
Right.
So you're caught out of the defense you didn't want to play in the first place. So it's almost like, you know, I think that the Jaguars are going to keep it simple, and because they're going to concentrate. Okay, these are the things we do well, which is a 4-man rush, which is zone coverage, and just see if they can catch lightning in a bottle against a team like Pats.
All right, let's go back to the phone. 641-1010. Now Joey Duval says he is a Jaguar fan who's displaced in Providence, Rhode Island. Quick trigger today, Tyler. Hello, Joey Duval. How are you?
I'm upset, man. I called the drill, and I got accused of being a Patriot fan.
You got to understand what's going on today, right? The Yahoo's up there who, I guess unemployment's high. They don't have a whole lot going on, and they're calling in this morning to the drill and pretending to be Jaguar fans. So they're going to be looking skeptically at anybody calling in from Providence, Rhode Island today.
Y'all only got two calls from them. I got to live up here with them. So it's like,
and what
man,
is that experience know? Like, Joey?
Oh, my God, man. I don't even want to. I mean, I call myself a Hatriot. Like, I'm the number one Hatriot in Rhode Island. But I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, man. I played football at Forest High School. I remember playing against Sam Cowick, man, and when he played for Mandarin, his last year, like his senior year. So I'm definitely from Jacksonville, Florida. But I think the keys for us to win is to get to Brady, play solid defense, and get to Brady.
How do you get to Brady? Do you risk sending the blitz and leave yourself exposed on the back end, or you just hope you get there with your four?
You gotta roll the dice. You never know if it's gonna work or if it doesn't work if you don't try. So, I mean,
at
least try to get to him, you know what I'm saying? And I want to fight Jeff Prosser. I want to be televised. I want to fight Jeff Prosser.
All right. You'll have to work that out with the drill. Thank you, Joey Duval. All right. I
don't know what the last part meant.
Well, I guess they didn't take his call at the end of the show. But, I mean, they're getting calls from Yahoo's up there. By the way, Boston, average annual racial hate crimes, 80 per year. Is it 8 or was it 75? Second only to Columbus, Ohio, so they have that to work towards.
He did make a good point about pressuring Brady, like rolling the dice. I would sprinkle it in there, like doing some things that you haven't done. But also, like, this is going to sound totally cynical and totally looking ahead.
You are totally cynical.
Yeah, well, thank you. our first caller brought up a point that, you know, you're looking at Indianapolis for that division game next week. It's almost like you're facing the best quarterback in the league right now. Do you want to save some of your stuff for the Indy game?
I don't think they will. I know what you're saying. I don't think they
will,
but from a fan perspective, and I get it. You try to win every game, and the players need to go out there and say, hey, you know what? It's big boy time now. Let's just go play football and let's try to win a football game. They're not unbeatable. They're not going 16-0 this year. Okay, let's be one of the teams. Let's be the first team to beat them. But if you're looking at it from afar and saying, which one of those two games is more important? Well, clearly week four is more important. It's a divisional game. You have a chance to, at worst, have Indy start off with a 1-3 record, depending on what they do this weekend, and gain a little bit of early separation in the division, already having gotten past the Patriot game on your schedule, which the rest of the division will not be past. And, you know, you get that early division lead. There's no question. But the team can't afford to approach it like that, I don't think. I don't think they will approach it like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But, you know, it's interesting to think that way. But I just, you know, these games like Denver 2 years ago, Baltimore last year, they're big underdogs. Gus was bold on some, you know, fourth down calls. But, you know, he's usually not that way. But it'll be interesting to see when that situation presents itself early in the game, what Gus's mindset is.
Would you be bold this weekend? I would too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking my best shot at the New England Patriots this weekend. Whatever I got, I'm using.
Like Ryan said, Tony, you get inside the 10, you're inside the 5, and it's fourth down, go for it.
Yeah.
How many chances are you going to get to have a 3 or 4 yard play result in 7 points?
No, I agree. And I think for everyone that's out there saying, you know, pressure Brady, that's going to be the key. That's always the key against the good quarterbacks in the league. If you can create pressure. The problem, I think, in Jacksonville is they don't like the blitz a lot, and when they do, I don't think they're very good at it. They're not very good when they're trying to bring extra pressure. So there's one thing if you're a team that blitzes and you're really good at disguising it. Like the Jets, I think, are excellent at it, not only because they can play coverage behind it, but because their front four is so good that it creates problems for teams trying to figure out where it's coming from. The Jaguars, when they blitz, it doesn't get there. And if you're going to do that against Brady, you're going to get carved to death.
That's what was so surprising on Sunday night, where Sergio Brown blitzed and he got there.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good play.
It was just like, huh?
Sergio's playing well.
And I talked to him about it, and he's like, well, I saw Clemens' spin move the previous week. I figured I'd try it. But and he made a good point, because when I went back and watched it, he said what made that possible is that Roy Miller took up two blockers, which gave him a two-way go. So he said, all right, I got the inside. So I would try blitzing. I'd try blitzing Sergio more, you know, give Sample a shot just to see. You never know. Maybe one of these guys has a great ability to get to the quarterback.
All right, let's get Steve in here, who says he just called into WEEI a few minutes ago. I'm sure that one will. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, how you guys doing? I just want to let y'all know I got on the air with my best Boston accent.
Give it to us. What? Hold on. What does your best Boston accent sound like?
Hey, you guys. I just wanted to call in and talk about the game this Sunday.
All right. It seems
so Hispanic.
I was going to go like Indian maybe, but whatever. All right. That whatever works. It got you on. So
their Duval accent.
I told him I was with the Washington Redskins and I wanted my money back from Christian. And I told him that they asked me what I thought was going to happen in the game Sunday. And I told him that there's only two things I know. The balls are going to be undeflated and they're going to know our whole playbook.
There's no question about that, Steve. Nicely done, though. You know what? I don't want you to work on that accent, because whatever you just did sounded a lot better than everybody coming out of that
scene. Hey, you guys. How you doing?
He's going Brooklyn now, a little on us. Work on it, Steve. We appreciate it, man. Good effort. And, you know, if that gets under their skin, more power to you, brother. 6-4-1-10-10. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll hear from Gus Bradley and Blake Bortles, your coach and quarterback, as we get ready for the Jags to head up to Foxborough and take on the New England Patriots on Sunday. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along Jaguars today live at Everbank. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, Fat Tony here with you today. Anything short of a win going to satisfy you this weekend? We'll get to your tweets a little bit later on the program. The Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line tells you that all I want is a win. Time for moral victories was over last year. Time to kick some Patriot ass. Screw Boston and their stupid fans. We have a young, talented quarterback, and it's time for him to start beating these elite QBs. Obviously, I know we're not supposed to win, but I don't give a crap. I'm sick of the Jags losing. Go Jags. I believe the answer would be no to the question of the day for that texter right there. Would anything short of a win satisfy you?
Sounds
I got no
like
problem
it,
with
yeah.
that. Honestly, I have no problem whatever part of the spectrum you're on, right? I mean, there are always going to be fans that all throughout, no matter how bad your team is, no matter what the reasons are, if you're starting a rebuild, they're not going to be satisfied with anything less than a win. As Bill Parcells said infamously, you are what your record says you are. But other fans are like, hey, you know what? We've come a long way. Do I think we're ready to go on the road and beat the defending Super Bowl champs in week three? Maybe not yet, but I want to see a good showing. And if that's your prerogative or your point of view, that I don't have a big issue with that. I don't feel that way myself.
Sure.
Again, there's a look, win, play well and win, number one, play poorly and win, number two, and then I guess play well and lose beats play poorly and lose, but it's third on the list of choices.
Yeah, then a fifth one would be embarrassment.
I'll cover that and play poorly and lose. I hope that it doesn't that would be the one thing. All right, we went from everybody was on the ledge after week one, right, to everybody said, wait a second, maybe, you know, week one was the aberration and now we're going to feel good. We can beat a team that's, you know, thought of as a playoff caliber team in the Miami Dolphins. To go out, I think that's the one unacceptable thing. You're right. You can't show up and be inept. You can't be, you know, 35-3 at the end of the day. You gotta go toe to toe with them. It's not enough just to go toe to toe with them, but it's the bare minimum, uh-huh. I think, that you've at least gotta have somewhat of a puncher's chance in this game. Put up 20 something points. I mean, the Jags, again, I harp on this stat because I think it's significant. 7-3 now when they score 20 or more in the Gus Bradley era. So, you know, go out and put up 24 points and, or more and see where it stands. And if it's not good enough at the end of the day, well, you know, Tom Brady just blitzed a pretty good Buffalo defense to the tune of 40. I don't think it's a shock if he puts up points this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I would set that number, if I'm the Jags, I'd set that number of, okay, get to 28 and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably take.
I think that's going to be
I would think
minimal.
It'll take 28, right. Yeah. It'll take 28 to feel like you've got a chance to win, but I think they can do that. I think TJ Yeldon can have success in this game. I mean, D'Angelo Williams has played well the first couple weeks of the season, but he's no spring chicken. Went for 127 in week one with a depleted Pittsburgh Steelers team. And Ben Roethlisberger, granted, he threw a touchdown on practically the last play, but he threw for 351 in the game. You can move the ball on them in the air and on the ground, as Tony pointed out a minute ago. Let's get to Gus Bradley. Guys, this is yesterday following practice for Gus on talking about why yesterday's practice wasn't all that great, but it was good.
Well, I think there's a lot mentally, you know, on him, you know, going through some different things. So, you know, I think it's expected a little bit. You come out of a physical game like we came out of, a lot of plays, you know, but it was still good practice. You just, you know, now tomorrow gives us something to shoot for.
Sort of talking at both sides of the mouth there, okay, mentally, but also a tough game physically. So, you know,
maybe the soreness contributes to the mental fatigue. I don't know.
And I'll sort of take it on, okay, maybe they're throwing a lot at him that they have to get ready for this week.
Right.
And, you know, maybe there's just maybe too much thinking going on.
Could be.
And, the physical part you can understand a little bit considering they have guys that are part of the active roster that can't play.
Well, Tony,
like, they're still too beat up to even play.
TJ Yeldon went from, what, 8 carries in the preseason to he had 25 last week.
Right.
So, you know, there's an adjustment period. It's not like he's never run the ball before, but in recent weeks it hasn't been anywhere near that.
Gus Bradley, after practice yesterday, also talked about the loss of Rashad Green for the next couple of months.
Well, you know, just as a value as an offensive player and then also on special teams. You know, he was really starting to get it, understand his position. You know, Blake was gaining trust in him. You know, so it's a tough one. You know, you hate to lose a guy of his caliber, but it gives the other guy an opportunity.
You know, look, I think with Marquise Lee coming back, provided they don't have further injuries in the wide receiver core, the biggest loss so far will be on punt return, where he, throughout the preseason and into the regular season at times, has, you know, had a little knack for picking up that 20-yard play, which they've had so few of the last few years.
And they have decent depth because I think Hearns can do a nice job in there. I think Marquise will take maybe another week or two, but then he'll produce, and he's already done some nice things in that one game. But we'll go back to, we seem like we talk about this all week, is like how many more injuries can they withstand? I mean, right now, because let's say Green doesn't play. He's not eligible to play until week 11. So let's say he does play. So that would mean they play 10 games without even their ideal lineup available.
Right.
So, and right now, Denard's down. Green's down. Cyprian maybe
Thomas
up.
Remains
yeah.
out.
So it's you know, they're holding on.
I agree
so
with
it's
you.
It's like, okay, what's next?
Well, let's hope yeah. that they don't get that next. Yeah. But and if it is, it's not somebody. Look, they're all these guys are significant. But up till now, they've been able to, you know, at least the most recent time, yeah. right, win a game. But they've only played two, and they're able to stay competitive despite being depleted. Like
well, hopefully, the answer to what's next is Julius Thomas comes back.
That would be great.
You know, like hopefully that's the next thing. That
and send Derek Marks
Jags.
Right after him.
Right, instead of they lost this guy again this weekend.
Luke Jokel, one of these guys that's ailing a little bit, and a quick update from Gus on his status.
I think that'll be day to day. You know how he feels. One day he feels pretty good, and then the next day it's a little bit sore, so he's going through that stage. But you know, hopefully we can stack up a couple good days.
I think what you said earlier, Ryan, you got so many guys that are going to occupy your inactives anyway, that a couple of guys who are active may not be healthy. Mm-hmm. Might as well, if you've got a guy that's close, might as well put him in there, see if he can go. If he can't, well, you've already got a backup plan, and you're going to have the inactives are going to be full of banged up guys anyway this mm-hmm. week.
Like Armbruster was hurt last week, but he was in uniform. I think he gave him two special team snaps.
Right.
It's because of a back injury. But, you know, if I'm the Jags and Jokel feels like he's moving all right, I'd start him. Young is obviously active. I'd keep Boanko active as your emergency tackle in case Luke gets through the first drive and says, I can't do it.
Right. Well, and then particularly if Linder's not there, you got to worry, is Boanko, is that enough yeah. depth on the bench? Because you could find out that Luke Jokel can't go. Maybe Boanko is the next man up at multiple positions then. Yeah. You know, it could be a tough sledding this Sunday in that regard.
Gus Bradley, after practice yesterday, also asked about if they do have a backup plan for the headsets when they inevitably go out in New England.
Yeah, we've got signals for everything. So you use the headset, and then I think going into every game you have a plan like that. Because it's happened that, I know for me, I've had a couple experiences where the headsets have gone down. So you always have a plan for that in case it does happen.
But you probably don't get asked about it in any other locale, do you?
No.
Now, Gus.
And that's part of the reason why the Patriots don't fix it. Right? Is the idea that these teams that are going in there to play New England have to deal with those questions from the media every week when they're going to go up there and play New England.
See, I don't know if it's that, Tony, because they say the league is the one who really controls the communication.
No, they control the equipment up until it gets to the stadium, and then it's the stadium's electrical that goes out with the Patriots every time. They control the equipment up until then. It's at the Patriots' electrical stuff. It's still so cruddy that it goes out every week.
Yeah, is it cruddy or is it, you know? Right, exactly.
Right, they just have the guy kick that frayed wire when they want to.
Well, it's going to be an easy note after the game for me because I'm going to ask Gus any issues.
Right.
And he'll say no. I said, oh, okay, thanks.
That's a good, right, either
or,
way.
Or he says, yeah, it's pain in the butt. I said, oh, cool.
Yeah, it's good for you either way. Let's take a look at James Sample. That's what Gus did next. What's the next step in his development?
I was watching him today, an individual, and, you know, he's doing some good things. He's not, I'd say he's still a little bit of a ways away, but, you know, he's going at it. He's in pads and he's practicing, you know, an individual. So as soon as they give us the okay to give him some reps and team, when that will be, I'm not sure.
No idea what he's talking about. I asked the question, but I'm...
Bad answer.
It's almost like he was talking about Cyprian.
Yeah, it did, right? Yeah. It seemed like he was talking. You said, I watch him an individual. You know, yeah. We'll get him some reps as a team because clearly, do you think, put it this way, do you think James Sample is a threat to take Jonathan Cyprian's starting spot at strong safety?
No.
You don't? Okay.
No, I think Cyprian is pretty Teflon here. A lot of support in the building. And he, you know, he basically has played one series this year healthy.
Right.
So I think ideally they still want to see Sample as a free safety. But they get caught in a little depth bind here, so they haven't played strong.
They're right. I understand why they're doing it short term, but and right now Sergio Brown is giving you no reason to move him out of that spot mm-hmm. too at free safety.
Gus Bradley finally asked yesterday the another question that everybody who's going to play the Patriots is going to be asked: how are you planning to cover Rob Gronkowski?
It's difficult. It's difficult. You know, you know, sometimes you see him have success against everybody. So, you know, it's just you pick and choose your battles. You know he's going to get targeted. You know he's going to have some catches. And I think you're trying to make sure it's not explosive plays. And, you know, that's where you look at the explosive plays that he's had. How is he on them? And he's very, very good in the red zone. So I think it's, again, you know, you have to have great awareness where he is. And, you know, obviously something to be concerned about is matchups. And, you know, but it's who we are. We'll do what we do. And, you know, I think there's always going to be when you go in a game, you tweak some things and you have some different ideas. But you don't want to get too far away from who you are.
Just double them every time, man. Certainly don't do it the way Pittsburgh did. It's shocking how the guy who should be the focal point, other than the quarterback himself, focal point of everyone's defensive game plan, can go uncovered on multiple occasions. It's really inexcusable as far as that goes. I'm sure Rob Gronkowski will have his moments. Let's hope the Jags limit those moments and he doesn't have one of those three-touchdown game-wrecking type of performances. So we still to come. We'll hear from Blake Bortles coming up. But up next, this date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL. Ryan O'Halloran from the Florida Times Union is here with us. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this day in football history brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, September 24th, going back to 1972. Joe Namath threw six touchdowns on that day, 496 yards passing as the Jets defeated the Baltimore Colts 44-34. Colts quarterback Johnny Unitas chipped in with 376 of his own passing yards as the teams combined for a then record 872 in one game. Birthdays on this day, couple of Hall of Famers, the guy who the tight end, collegiate tight end award is named for. John Mackey was born on this date in 1941. He passed away in 2011 at the age of 69. A tight end with the Colts and the Chargers, a five-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Famer in 92 after, I believe, four times as a finalist before then, in which he didn't get in. Also on this date in 1946, Mean Joe Green was born for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He played, and of course, a notable spokesperson for Coca-Cola at one time, helped soften his image up. 10 Pro Bowls, five-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1987, also born in this state in 1973. Eddie George, Jaguar nemesis, turns 42 years old today, a four-time Pro Bowler, and former Florida State defensive lineman, now Baltimore Raven, Timmy Jernigan. Hoda had the world in front of you at the age of 23 years old, born in 1992. Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, brings you this date in football history. Re-roofs, repairs, any issues you have in your home, your business, with your roof, call Bob Roberts, 287-7756, license number CCC056797. The best in the business, Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, brings you this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Philadelphia Eagles running back DeMarco Murray being called questionable for their game this weekend against the Jets. Murray left practice yesterday with a hamstring injury, underwent an MRI to determine the extent of that injury. It's not considered serious, but his status for week three is up in the air. Jets quarterback Geno Smith has returned to practice this week from his broken jaw, which is earlier than expected he would be able to. Jets head coach Todd Bowles made it clear earlier this week that Fitzpatrick is the team starter right now, and said yesterday that Geno is practicing to try to be the number two quarterback this weekend. Quote, if Bryce is playing better and Geno doesn't have a grasp of everything we're trying to do, it'll be Bryce. If Geno has a grasp of everything and looks good and we feel good about him, we'll go with Geno as the backup.
And if Geno doesn't like it, we'll sign IK back to make sure that Ryan Fitzpatrick stays in.
Keep him in line.
And quarterback as long as the Jets keep winning. Going up against Philadelphia this weekend, DeMarco Murray, Tony, is it a hurt feelings perhaps for DeMarco Murray in addition to the hamstring? My goodness, what is he at, like 12 carries for 20 yards or something like that?
I think it's 11 yards.
Does he have 11 total yards this year?
I think it's 11 yards.
He had negative 9 with about 2 minutes to go in the game this weekend against Dallas. What do you got?
21 carries, 11 yards.
21 for 11. So I was thinking I had the carries and the yardage almost reversed.
Yeah.
Didn't I? 21 for 11. Either way, it's bad.
That's so terribly bad.
People are going to be like, today we've got the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast at 2. Should I pick up Ryan Matthews? I don't know. Do you want 15 yards rushing this week?
Nobody's running it.
No.
No, that's the point, yeah.
And there was somebody from, but like, there were players on Philadelphia last weekend who said the Dallas players were calling out their plays before, you know, they ran them on Sunday. And there were some people this week that I saw say, if you do 20 minutes of film study on Philadelphia, you know what play they're going to run before they run it. And someone asked Chip Kelly about that yesterday, and he said the players aren't executing the plays. So it's, well, Chip Kelly decided that he didn't need all those studs on his offensive line or LeSean McCoy or Macklin or Jackson or any of those studs that can just beat the guy in front of him. I'm going to do it with my guys. Now his guys aren't good enough to just execute what he wants to run, and they're 0-2 and getting whipped at the line of scrimmage play after play after play.
Yeah, Chip Kelly, the GM, has not helped out Chip Kelly, the play caller.
Not in the early part of this year, certainly. Yeah.
But I think the Eagles win Sunday, and I think they'll be fine.
Do you think they'll win Sunday?
Yeah, I think they'll beat the Jets.
Boy, the way that the Jets defense played this week and the way the Eagles offense is playing, I mean, that would be such an NFL thing, right?
That's because probably not basing it on.
Isn't that kind of like
short week?
Right. Speaking of short week, what about the long week? What about Kansas City? Played last Thursday.
Yeah.
They play next Monday. It's a nice little break for those guys, right? Taking
it's
on the Green Bay Packers. It is almost a bye week. So it's tough on that first one, I guess, on the short week. But at least they were at home and didn't take advantage of it. Should have beaten Denver last week. Let's get some calls in here, guys. 641-1010 or 904-641-1010 if you're calling from the Massachusetts area or if you're calling from the UK, as Christoph is right now. What's up, Christoph? How are you?
Yeah, I just saw something on the internet, and I think Mr. Ryan O. will appreciate this. The Jaguars have to channel their inner Eddie Guerrero and lie, cheat, and steal their way, and you better believe in a victory.
That's pretty good tweet.
Thank you, Chris.
That was a pretty good picture that he tweeted you and me.
I got it from Stoffelis Prime on Twitter.
Don't hold back anything, I guess.
Will there be a foreign object in the waistband?
Yeah, he's got a steel pipe.
I know. Shocking. Not allowable under NFL rules.
Sergio Brown has a steel chair.
Don't know what the fine would be for that. He would be the one, right? Did Ric Flair ever use a steel chair very much? I guess they've all used a steel chair at some times.
Well, Ric Flair's go-to is a thumb to the eye.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the move? Yeah. Thumb to the eye?
Gronk is down.
there's been a thumbing up in New England. All right, let's go to Lucas in Gainesville up next here. Wants to talk tight ends. Hi, Lucas.
Hey, something I've been talking to a couple of my friends about is we think that the Jaguars might be kind of sandbagging on the tight end position as far as schemes and the plays that they're using, because it's like they don't want to roll out Julius Thomas and do plays that everyone's seen. Maybe they have some schemes and some plays set to the side for when Julius gets back. And maybe that's why we're not seeing all these receptions to the tight end. All right.
Thank you, Lucas. I'll say that I'm sure there are some plays that they feel Julius Thomas is going to be more effective running.
That's what I was going to say.
Right? Yeah. And therefore, maybe they'll shy away. But, Ryan, they're not sandbagging. Well, they're in a game with Miami. And they haven't scored the entire second half, and they think, oh, we got this great play that would help us right here, but let's save it for when Julius gets back. There's no way. There's no way they're doing that.
Yeah, what they're not doing is Julius is going to be a guy who's wide left, wide right.
Right, he's going to be all over the place.
Yeah, but when you – I mean, they tried that tight end screen, the Mercedes, in the third quarter. They're going left to right. That's a play Julius Thomas is going to be available to run. I also think the reason why the tight ends don't have a lot of catches, and we knew this going in, they're just not as good as Julius Thomas.
That is definitely a factor in it. And, how much, in your opinion, you're breaking down, you're charting it all, how much is Mercedes Lewis being asked to stay in and block as opposed to getting out in the pattern?
Not as much as I initially thought. I thought he would stay in a lot against Miami to help Young out. But the fact that Vernon was also gimpy helped the cause there. And then, so, he's not being asked to do a ton. He really struggled as a run blocker in week one, but so did a lot of guys. So, I think he's filling Thomas's role as much as I thought he would in terms of route running.
Right, trying to anyway. And obviously, Thomas is a better player. That's why they spent all the big money to bring him in here. And, again, I don't think – this is not a team that can afford, Tony, to look, if you've got the opportunity to get a victory early in the season against anybody, you're not going to sit there and count your chickens down the line. I mean, a lot of things can happen before Julius Thomas ever gets back here.
Look, that Carolina game, you don't hold back your tight end plays for Julius Thomas, right? I mean, when you needed a spark on offense and you, if you had a play that you felt like there was one available to your tight end that would help you, you run that play and you try to get your offense going and back in that game. They just weren't able to.
Think about the play that Tyson Alualu caught the pass, right? You and I were sitting there late in the game. I can't remember the exact situation. We're saying, man, if they hadn't run that already, they could use that right here and really catch Indy off guard, that little play where he flared out of the backfield. But that just goes to show you the opportunity you get. Sometimes you hold something back for a special purpose, but they were early in that game. They said, boy, let's just get a first down here, let's keep this chain moving.
The opposite's true, too. Sometimes you show something so the defenses have to be aware of it.
Right.
You know, sometimes you run that flare out to Tyson Alualu so that they have to dedicate somebody to cover Tyson Alualu if you want to run that play, that kind of formation, where they can't know every time that you step out there, oh, this is going to be a run up the middle. I don't believe in holding anything back. Julius Thomas is a talented enough player that his skill is going to get him open in this league. You don't have to hold a playback because Clay Harbor is the guy running that route.
And after a game or two, everything Thomas is going to run is going to be on tape, too.
Yep.
So the advantage would be minimal, in our opinion. Let's go to Kevin up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, I'm only happy they got a win and things going for them. It seems like they're building the team the right way. And I think they got a bunch of body catchers. Is it just me to think all our guys are possession receivers? It seems like the ones that have the explosive ability is the one that does the hand catching. Is that just me, or is that what I'm looking at? Are those our receivers hand catch also?
I thought Allen Robinson caught with his hands on a 46-yard touchdown, but you know Allen Robinson has a couple. Very versatile. He can be a possession guy. I think Allen Hurds makes some big plays. And
Marquise Lee's not a possession receiver by the traditional definition of it.
They want him to be a home run hitter.
But I understand what he's saying. He's saying he wants to see guys pluck it out of the air, keep moving. You know, week one we saw too many attempts at body catching, right? And I thought you saw a better job. Certainly, look, when you catch, what were the final numbers? 6'4", like 160-ish, right, for Allen Robinson?
Yeah, 6'155".
155, right? When you're averaging that much per reception, you're not a possession guy. Now, can he play that role? He's that big target, but so is A.J. Green, so is Julio Jones, so are a lot of the elite wide receivers that you wouldn't say are possession receivers. I'm not saying he is those guys yet, but that's what they hope he profiles towards. I'm not saying he'll be Julio Jones, but that's the kind of receiver that they hope Allen Robinson turns out to be, a version of that where he can beat you deep, he can beat you intermediate, and he can beat you on those tough third down catches, which he showed right out of the gates as a rookie.
Yeah, and Rashad Green, when he was healthy, was a possession receiver.
Yes. Seven catches for 28 yards is almost the definition of that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and then 2 for 7. So if he's the guy that runs the quick slant on third and three to get you 5, and he's surrounded by tacklers, you know. Now, I mean, they got to, like you said earlier in the last hour, they got to continue taking shots downfield.
All right, let's get Desmond in before we break here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Desmond. How are you?
All right, how are y'all doing, fellas?
Good.
Great. What's up?
I'm doing good. I want to make one statement. I heard yesterday about Kurt said his session is kind of like boring. Well, Kurt, I want to invite you to session 224 in the north end zone, man. You'll have fun, man. I'm telling you. But, I wanted to ask y'all this. Okay. Since, we all know the stats of Linder. So I want to ask, you think, Luke Barranco or AJ Cann can fit the, pick up for Linder slack if he don't play? And I wanted to say that I believe we can win if we can blitz Brady about probably like 25% of the time, like Kansas City did last year, and just hit Brady in the mouth a couple of times, and you let the defense take care, of Gronk, because like they said, Gronk gonna do whatever he want to do, but you gotta contain him and every time, because when Tom Brady do checkdowns doing quick slants. So you gotta have to really study him, but I believe you can win. We keep the same thing up we did Sunday against Miami. I believe we got a chance to win. I'll just take the comments off there.
My assumption would be that it would be Shatley at right guard, cause he subbed for him in the Detroit game, and he's the only active, interior guy in week one when they only had room
for that. He'd be probably the next man up, Bowanko, yeah. And maybe Cann would both be active, though, this week.
Like they were last week.
Right. So because, you know, you're thin, and if you do go in with Luke Jokel, you're not going to necessarily count on him. Maybe hope, but not count on him making it through the game.
As far as blitzing 25%, that would probably be a high percentage for Gus's tenure. They're usually around 14 or 15.
I think it's strategic mixing it in, though, Ryan. Yeah. I really do. I know they don't like to, but I think they did it at times against the Dolphins. At times it was effective. And that's the question. Will you be effective? If you get caught, if they pick you up, if you're sending five or six, he's going to slice you apart. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. And, you know, he's going to know where to go. But if you get an unblocked guy, if you disguise it well, look, no quarterback likes pressure. I think what really hurts him is in Derek Marks. Because I think Tom Brady, like many of the truly super elite guys, they hate the guy at their feet more than anything. The guy coming off the edge doesn't bother him as much because they know it's going to take a minute for him to get there and they can step up away from his momentum. It's a guy coming right at him that forces them out of the pocket that I think, clearly Marks is the best pocket collapser that the Jags have.
So if you want to blitz, I'd send some linebackers through the A-gaps to see and get him off his spot, realizing, okay, just get him to move a little bit.
Right.
You know, and he'll maybe throw it away.
All right, let's get to Blake Bortles coming up next. More phone lines, if you'd like to get in, are open for you at 641-1010. Also, the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as well. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I just think it's the comfort level. And, one, it's so difficult to make the transition from the college game to the professional level for any quarterback. And so it's a learning process just coming in as a rookie. And then certainly trying to learn a new offense. And for Blake, now he's learned now three offenses in three seasons.
That's Jaguar offensive coordinator Greg Olsen. Terrible play caller week one. Not so bad last week, apparently. It's funny how that works, right? But talking about Blake Bortles, it is an adjustment. Remember Jason Campbell, very talented guy. Had four different offensive coordinators in college, four different ones, won every single year, and came into the league, and I think his first 3 years in the National Football League had a different offensive coordinator.
I was there, drafted in 05, he had one, 06, one, 07, two in his first three in his first four.
Three out of the first four, okay, yeah. So out of an eight-year period. Yeah, he had seven different offenses to learn. And, first-round talent, he hung around the league for a long time. Who knows what he could have done had he, gotten a semblance of stability early on in his football career.
Yeah, I think Blake's from a pretty good command of the offense. I mean, against Miami, Heath said that he checked out of a run to a pass, he says, more than six times, less than 10. So, but, when you don't notice that, that means that the right decisions are being made.
Right.
So he's, identifying what's there and trying to get some yards that way.
No, it's good stuff from Blake. I thought
I had the high sign from you. My bad.
No, I was like, what's he doing over there? He's just staring at me like an owl there for about 3 seconds. But no, I can remember a couple times during the game on Sunday against Miami where I was wondering why they didn't get out of a certain play, right? Where I could see it from where I was sitting. I was like, all right, they got man across the board. You got eight guys in the box. Let's get to a pass here. And they didn't. But I can only remember one or two times where that happened in the game. It's good to hear from Blake that he feels like he has enough command of the offense that he can go to the line of scrimmage and make those kind of calls.
Yeah, one thing I'm interested in, and maybe explore this next day or two, is they had a couple of those short yardage run plays where they're stopped for a loss, blitzing safety, linebacker unblocked. What should happen there? I mean, I know you have 10 blockers to their 11 defenders, but should an adjustment be made? Should the side the run goes be changed? Because you saw TJ stop for a loss, maybe three or four times.
I think he was hit in the backfield. I want to say four times on run plays, and another one when he caught a screen pass. Mm-hmm. He got hit behind the line of scrimmage as well.
So that's another thing. When you stay on the, when you play New England, you got to stay ahead of sticks, manageable third downs, stay on the field.
All right, let's hear from Blake Bortles a little bit, and then we'll get back to the phone lines. If you're there, just hang on. We'll get to you in a moment at 641-1010. Blake asked yesterday, what's it feel like? Is it a little bit surreal defending Super Bowl champs? You're going up to Foxborough, second year in the league. You just really completed. You're complete. I guess this will be a 16th game he starts in the National Football League. What's the feeling like?
Definitely. I mean, it's we're gonna, you know, face this game, you know, the same way we did Carolina and Miami. You know, we get an opportunity to go play again. It just so happens to be, you know, playing the world champions at their place. So it's awesome. You know, I think that's a cool opportunity. Guys are gonna be excited about it, but we're gonna, you know, go through this week and prepare and plan, and, you know, take it on just like every other week.
You hope so. You hope so. It's the NFL. You shouldn't be, yay, we get the, yeah, the opportunity. I get to go play against Brady. Like, you don't want your quarterback's mentality to be that kind of thing. After the game, you know, as a player, you get to go say what's up to Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a cool opportunity for a guy who probably grew up watching and idolizing him. But Blake also talked about being able to throw it up to that big receiver, Allen Robinson.
I mean, he's it's something that, you know, I've been able to see for 2 years now, or a year and a half. You know, the physical talent that he has, and obviously the jumping ability, you know, the size and the speed. He's obviously kind of a physical specimen. You know, so I think any time, you know, as a quarterback, you kind of throw a ball up there and, you know, you just hope your guy's better than theirs and goes and makes a play. And he's a guy that has the ability to do that every time. So it's always cool. And as a quarterback, you know, good to have a guy like that.
This audio courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com on Blake Bortles here speaking yesterday afternoon. And we figured Julius Thomas coming in, it's going to help open things up a little bit for some of these wide receivers, draw some double teams in the passing game. Blake was asked yesterday if the same can hold true. If Allen Robinson keeps performing well, will he start to open things up for the tight ends who are not getting looks right now?
Yeah, I think it does a lot. You know, I think it'll allow, you know, Sadies and Clay Harbor, you know, maybe to get a little more separation. Paying a little special attention to Allen, but, you know, I think he's done a good job, and the guys, you know, even inside have continued to do a good job. You know, whether Sadie's has been open or not, you know, he's continued to block really well. He's continued to run good routes, and that'll only continue, and, you know, he'll definitely get his share of balls thrown to him.
Would you rather your nickname be Sadie's or Merck? I think I'd prefer Merck.
Yeah, I mean, Merck like a mercenary, then yeah. You're kind of a tough guy.
I like that. Sadie's.
Sadie's sounds like something. I gotta believe that there's some new hipster dipster kid out there with some. Well, the kid's not the kid's fault. It's the hipster dipster parents that named their kids Sadie's. There's gotta be one Sadie's out there, doesn't there? C-E-D-E-S, right? But they're thinking it's short for Mercedes instead of Mercedes.
And I guess he is Mercedes, so maybe it'd be Mark, but that doesn't make any sense.
No. Well, I guess it could be.
I like Merck.
But we don't like Sadie's, I guess, is our point here.
Blake also yesterday talking about the opportunity to go play against the defending champs.
Yeah, I mean, I think any time you get an opportunity, you know, in 20 years, I guess, to say, you know, we played the New England Patriots the year after they won the Super Bowl. You know, that's something you'll remember, I'm sure. But, you know, like I said, it's about us and, you know, how we go about our business. Obviously, we want to get to know them and know their personnel and everything. But it's more about knowing our game plan and how we can execute it.
By the way, Tyler passes along from his extensive knowledge of it that Sadie's actually works at the strip club here in town. So there you go. That's straight from Tyler Devitt.
I endorse all sound effects, including the rim shot.
You do? And we'll come up over there. All right, Blake asked about how I don't know the context of this one, Ryan. I assume you may have been there for this one, how he measures up to the elite quarterbacks. Let's hear what he says.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can. I mean, those guys are the, you know, some of the greatest that have ever played the game. You know, so I'm not playing against Tom Brady. I'm playing against the New England defense, and that's all I'm worried about, and that's all we're worried about as an offense is how do we execute and put up points on their defense.
I think it was how do you not subconsciously say I have to match him?
Gotcha. Okay, yeah. I gotcha. All right. So measuring yourself in that regard, he's smart. You can't. You can't do it in that game. You can't do that if you're just talking about your career. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Blake's not going to get sucked into one of those things. I mean, hey, I had a good game. Now I'm Tom Brady. He knows, you know.
Well, and also like with Illinois, also within the game, if, you know, Brady throws a couple of touchdowns, I got to go match him.
Right.
You know, and trying to get into a shootout instead of, you know,
especially if they get a quick strike score, like a three-play drive, that kind of thing. Yeah. You feel that pressure. Oh, my gosh, we're right back here already. We just punted last time, whatever.
Yeah. Can't get caught up in all of that. Blake also talked about that Pats defensive pressure. They lead the National Football League in sacks through 2 weeks with 11.
You know, they try and isolate certain guys. They don't bring a whole lot of pressure. You know, they bring one guy. They don't usually bring more than five. But they do a good job of isolating their guys and trying to, you know, create matchups up front, you know, to get their players on offensive linemen one-on-one and kind of let them go to work and rush the passer.
Six of their seven sacks against Buffalo, four-man rush. Chandler Jones, 3 sacks. Jamie Collins, 2.5 sacks. Those guys are problems.
Those two guys are their best two players on that side of the football. I mean, they really are. Chandler Jones, one of the best, maybe 10 pass rushers in the league, I think. And Jamie Collins is an emerging superstar if he's not really there already. And I don't use that word lightly in his case. He can do it all now. Play the run, play the pass, blitz, coverage, everything you want in a linebacker. You're right. Those guys. And I think, though, Ryan, when you're playing from a lead, it's easier for those D linemen to pile up some sack numbers, or even if you're coming with a 4-man rush.
Yeah, the classic football cliche. Pin your ears back.
Right.
But Patriots had sacks on 3 straight plays against Buffalo the whole series. I don't even think the Jaguars allowed that to happen last year.
All right, let's get a last one in from Blake here, and he was asked what he's doing to help eliminate interceptions this year.
Yeah, you know, I think just continuing to see everything, get live reps at everything, see and learning from the mistakes I made, continuing to have a conscience of taking care of the ball, which I had all of last year. I was just a little more not as good in reads and decision making. So I think, just continuing to go through that, whether it be, in the film room or on the field, where should the ball go and where is a safe spot to put it, but also staying aggressive.
All right, again, audio courtesy of our friends at Jaguars.com. Look, I thought I don't have an issue with the 50-50 balls, right? The defense is going to get their hands on some of those. The only one that really he probably wanted back was that throw. I think Brent Grimes got his hands on, right?
Dropped it, yeah.
Last play or last drive of the first half, they ultimately got the 58-yard field goal.
Yeah, Gus said, hey, I heard you're ripping me on Twitter during that drive. I said, damn right it was. I said, I was doing it before you didn't take a knee. 18 seconds left on your own side of the 50. I was like, take the knee and get out of here.
Three points, O'Halloran.
Well, and that's what I told. He goes, what'd you say after the 3 points? I said, you got lucky. And because you had the dropped interception, and on the last throw, Blake hit the drew the penalty. He took a hell of a shot. So they got away with one, just like he got away with a horrible challenge in the second half.
They definitely got away with the drop pass. But to me, I like the fact that after the drop, if you're going to decide to do it, once you had the bad throw from Blake, don't all of a sudden then say, all right, now we're going to take a knee. I like the fact that they say, you know what, this is our guy. We're going to believe in him. And look, you can get hit on any play that you drop back. I'm not going to fault them for getting crushed on a play because they were going for it. And because it ended up, they got points out of it. And you're playing football, you're going to get hit sometimes. That doesn't bother me as much as maybe, you calculate the cost benefit of going for it from that point in the field with that much time left. Probably won't pay off as many times as you'd like. But if you got a kicker with a cannon leg,
sure,
you got a decent chance.
And you mentioned they got lucky. They the official spotted that ball at the 40-yard line, a receiver that never ran a route to the 40.
Right. That was generous.
It was actually at the 42, which would have made it a 60-yard attempt. And I'm sure they would have still attempted the field goal with Myers at that point. But it would have been a little bit tighter from 60 than it was 58.
6-4-1-10-10. Let's get Mike next up on Jaguars today. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good. What's up?
Good. Yeah, I was looking at the matchup, and I know, we're kind of not exactly equal, really, but at the same time, I look at Malcolm Butler ain't exactly Darrell Revis, and I see how we played up against Grimes, and Grimes is supposed to be the more better of the corners in the league. And I just think maybe we could, in a way, exploit maybe we can get some numbers and get some points up. Maybe Allen Robinson could be productive on that side again. And just kind of exploit that, because Malcolm Butler ain't really the best corner. Well, in my opinion, I feel like he average at best. So,
I totally agree that this should be an opportunity for the Jaguars to move the ball and score points if they can protect the quarterback. Because you're not this Patriot defense in the secondary. You're not game planning against anybody. There's no Revis, no Browner. McCourty's a safety, so. I think the Jaguars should be able to do what they usually do on offense in terms of what they call.
I think Malcolm Butler's better than Mike is describing him, however. But what Allen Robinson has, which he'll have over almost every corner he faces, is a distinctive size advantage, right? So put the ball up high like you did on a couple of occasions. Let him go up and make a play or maybe draw a pass interference penalty, which he should have had one of those called against him in the Miami game.
Butler is not at the stage where you have to cut the field in half.
He's not that, but he is. I don't think he's a below average guy. I think he's an emerging player.
Yes.
And you're right. He's not a top 10 guy that you say, all right, we have to stay away from him. You've got, as you pointed out, Chandler Jones and Jamie Collins fit that bill.
And you should be able to create one-on-one opportunities. for Allen Robinson and all the guys in this offense, honestly. You ought to be able to run the ball against the New England Patriots. The losses that they had the massive losses in the secondary. They're getting after the passer okay, obviously, because they got 11 sacks this year, but they're giving up 5.7 yards a rush, right? I mean, they're giving up big-time yardage in the run game. Now, their offense has been so good that it hasn't been an issue for New England yet this year, and I'm not sure that Jacksonville is healthy enough offensively to push New England in this game where it's going to be an issue, but somebody is. Right, at some point, it's going to catch up with New England how bad they are defending the run. Is Jacksonville good enough to be the team that punishes them for it? We'll see.
We'll find out on Sunday. All right, we got to take a quick time out. Come back. If you're on the line, stay right there. We'll get you on the other side. Fan feedback spotlight coming up as well as we ask you, anything short of a victory, will anything satisfy you short of a victory this weekend as the Jags head to Foxborough to take on the New England Patriots? Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you. Jaguars Today continues in a moment on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Put your headset on over there, will you?
This is not Timberlake.
All right, but put your headset on anyway. It may be at some point. What are you laughing at?
No, this is just, it takes me back to like middle school.
Oh.
This song.
I gotcha. I don't know where this show's going today, Tony. It's one of those kind of days. All right, if you'd like to get in, 641-1010. Thanks to our intern, J.J. LaSelva. Tyler says, indispensable, especially when he's working the mornings. How's this new guy, Beef, getting days off already is what I want to know, Tyler.
He already negotiated a vacation package. He's been here like 2 weeks.
Crazy. Man, I got some producers on Sirius like that. These guys will take a vacation like nobody's business. Oh, I got to take it. I got to take it. You don't have to take it during football season, buddy. That's the business, all right? We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight coming up. Let's get these calls in at 641-1010 quickly. Sonny, you're up next on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
I had a kind of a thought that in the game last week when Jared Audrick, you know, going against his old team, he kind of had a little bit of extra fire because a little redemption game for him. And to me, he kind of helped us win that game, you know, in that last series when he got after Tannehill and, you know, made him drop
the
ball and everything. So this week, I'm thinking Sergio Brown, you know, Gronk threw him out of the club last season when he played for the Colts.
He did do that.
And maybe Sergio Brown has been kind of circling this game for a little redemption game for him. So I'm kind of calling my shot and saying that Sergio Brown makes a play and helps us win this game.
All right, I like it.
Well, I asked Sergio. I said, you know, what do you got cooking for retaliation? He was like, well, how about an interception?
That'd be good.
And so he said he's never watched the tape of him getting blocked at Kokomo. I mean, the TV trailer.
I don't think I'd want to watch that either. If I were Sergio, try to forget that as much as possible. But
Sergio says he's going to still talk. He goes, it's just up to them to decide whether to listen or not.
Right. A pick would be fine. You don't have to knock Gronk into the club. Just take the ball away from him and run the other direction. Let's go to Kenny up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Kenny.
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Good. Good.
Hey, that's what I think we should do as far as a game plan defensively. I think we should play a lot of two-man because we don't want to double Gronk or Edelman. I think we play a lot of two-man that allows us to get a little bit physical with these guys at the line of scrimmage, and then we have two safeties deep, you know, so they won't be able to hurt us deep as much. And offensively, if I'm an OC of Jacksonville, you know New England's going to load the ball. So I'm coming out first play of the game, play action, and I'm going up top to either Marquise Lee or A-Rob. What do you guys think about that? I take it out there.
I got no problem taking shots. We've said that all morning. I think probably they're going to be a little conservative on defense, Tony. They saw, you know, the Jags want to run the football, but they also saw Allen Robinson have a big game last week. I think the Jags will be balanced. I think if they come out and they only have, you know, 6-7 in the box, maybe you'll see TJ Yeldon early and often.
Sure.
But if they want to load up that box with that 7th-8th defender, then yeah, you got to take shots down the field. You got to loosen them up. Can't play afraid in this game. The Jags are not going to play afraid in this game. They might not have enough to win it. But I don't think, at least I hope it's not going to be run, pass on third down. I don't expect it to be that. They were very aggressive early against Miami. I see no reason for that to not continue this week against New England.
There isn't one. There's not a reason for them to not be able to play just as loose, if not more loose.
Right. You got a victory in your pocket. Nobody legitimately. I know Jag fans are saying, I believe they're going to win. And that's fine. And maybe you do. But the vast majority of people are not going to expect a victory for the Jaguars.
No, look, there are 31 other teams in this league outside of the Patriots. Every one of them would be an underdog going to New England. Every single one of them would be a dog going to this building. Now, Jacksonville's about as big a dog as you'll see in the league, you know, making this trip to New England. But nobody's going to be favored to go in there and beat the New England Patriots in this place. So you go up there, you're a team who's coming off a win, play loose, whatever you got, throw it at them. And take your best shot at the defending champs. It's not an impossible game for the Jacksonville Jaguars to go up there and win. I keep saying this Patriots team is vulnerable on defense.
They are.
They can be had on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not convinced that Jacksonville is a team that can have them, but I think they have an opportunity to this week up there in New England, and we'll see what they can get done.
I'm trying to figure out, should I make a prediction yet?
Do you have one?
I'm going to answer your poll question.
All right, let's get Brian in real quick, then we'll do that. Brian, you are up next and final here on Jaguars Today. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. Hey, we've all heard what a great job Belichick does at taking away what you do best. And
hey, I heard that.
Well, there's speculation that he's going to be taking away A-Rod. But I think a case could be made to shut down our running game, making us one-dimensional, and then get Blake into situations that he's not comfortable with. I'm just wondering what you guys think. Thanks.
That'd be my plan if I was New England. My plan if I was New England would be do what I need to do to take the running game away from Jacksonville.
What is it, though, that Blake's not comfortable with at this? You know what I mean?
It's not that I think that Blake would be uncomfortable. I think New England's better chance is, after seeing the inconsistency from this team, especially in the passing game, throughout last season and week one against Carolina, that's still there somewhere in this team's DNA. If I was New England and approaching this game, it's a lot easier to run the ball, and once you get that running, to be able to do whatever you want to, than it is once that gets taken away. Now you're putting the game in the hands of a bunch of young guys. Whether they're comfortable or not, you're saying, Blake, A-Rob, Marquise, beat us. We're not going to let you run the ball down our throat.
Either way, you're putting it in the hands of young guys, whether it's T.J. Yeldon or not, but I understand your point.
Well, they haven't moved the pocket by design a lot in the first two games, so... Yeah, maybe they try and add another layer to try and get away from the edge rushers.
Play action rollouts, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Certainly could. I mean, Blake's got the ability. I know not everybody likes to see him run, but you've got that ability. As long as you're smart about how you protect yourself, I think it's a weapon in their arsenal that they have to use. All right, Tony, a fan feedback spotlight. We asked folks basically, anything short of a victory going to satisfy you this week for the Jaguars? What do we get?
From Joey, you play to win the game, but I won't be upset if they lose and look good. # just win, baby, from JP. No. From Daniel, yes, we need signs of improvement, no offensive turnovers, and stay close. From Cristiano, if the Chichriots don't score the most, then we don't score the fewest points of the week. From Ortapalooza, yes, Jags lose a game where they traded touchdowns, came up 7 to 10 points short, and had no injuries. From Jason, no, go up to Foxborough, win the game, surprise us all. From Gronk, smack, ow, I'm not sure what exactly is going on there, but Chef Jags, rather have win, but realistically, as long as we have them, give them a run for their money. From Black Dog, if Brady wasn't smiling, if Belichick was pissed, if Brady was hugging Telvin, # Monday headlines. From Dino, just be competitive, don't get destroyed, a one-score game would be nice. From Clarence, Jags will win 34-30, playoff bound, baby. From Paolo, watching the game in person will be extremely happy with a competitive game until the last minute. And from Eric, playing competitive will suffice if we don't win, possibly 3-2 after five games. I'll take that.
A lot of people on Facebook just saying no. You know, you play to win and variations of that, and that's where we got to be, and that's how you got to feel about it. This one from Douglas is representative of the other side. I'd be happy just to see two full halves by the offense with Bortles going 20 for 30 for 300 yards and three touchdowns and not throwing any picks. # building momentum, # double check those headsets. Oh, Howard, you said you wanted to weigh in on the fan feedback question of the day.
Yeah, what would be a successful game outside of a win? It would be after the game, I'm asking Gus about, hey, are there a lot of things you can take out of this positive? Did your guys compete? Did you guys, you know, did you make some bold decisions instead of flipping the script and going, hey, how do you get over this?
Right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, ultimately, though, to me, there are degrees on the spectrum. You shouldn't be satisfied with less than a win. And that doesn't mean you're unrealistic and you're going to be down on this team and crushing them, but satisfaction comes from winning. You felt, you know how good you felt this week. Had the Jags, had one play gone differently and the Jags lost to Miami and everything else played out the same, you wouldn't feel nearly like you feel right now about this football team because they got the W. So again, play well and win, play poorly and win. Those are your two options. Those are your best options. Play poorly in or play well in defeat and competitive. I guess it's a consolation prize, but that's all it is. It's consolation for the fact that you didn't get the W, which is all that really counts in the end in the National Football League. Development's great, but ultimately development needs to lead to victories. 1-1, got an opportunity to make it 2-1 this week. O'Halloran, where are we going to see you or read you? What are you going to be talking about in the next few days?
Well, our main story is on Brady in Sunday's paper, and also going to have an insider with James Sample, some other notes, and then three of us will be up in Boston up there Saturday, game Sunday, back Monday.
All right, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter if you want to follow along throughout the course of the weekend. And, of course, Tony and I will be back this afternoon at 2 o'clock with the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast coming your way. So get your fantasy lineup questions ready for that one coming up in short order. So for Ryan, for Tony, for Joe Fortunato, for Tyler Devitt, and for intern JJ, we appreciate the help today as well. And all of our great sponsors, all of you out there in Radio Land, thanks for listening. This has been Jaguars Today live at EverBank on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
That's great job.